National Internet Radio Show. We're having some technical difficulties tonight, so we hope you can hear us loud and clear, but we are here just north of Seattle, Washington.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Hey there, we're back. I'm sorry, we're having a difficulty here. We are on live here from South Everett Community Church. We are live at Girlfriends Group, and welcome to our internet radio show. We want to thank you, those of you that are joining us for the first time, whether it be live here in our studio audience or live on the radio. We're going to be talking at you for the next 30 minutes, and after that we'll be going off the show, and we'll be talking with the studio audience. So I'm here today with my co-host, Tammy Salt, and my sister, Debbie. And we, as you know, are the Cruzy Sisters. We are sponsored by the Cruzy Brothers International Television and Radio Show. We want to welcome you tonight. Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight. Help us to uplift and inspire and remind wonderful women of all ages and stages in their life of their value in the body of Christ. We thank you for everyone here that we can see in their eyes. We thank you for those that we cannot see but are just listening to us with our voices tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have prayer requests that come in, of course, from this room, and we'll pray for those after we go off the show. But we have a few prayer requests of people tonight that are listening tonight especially. And so I'm going to ask Darlene here in a couple minutes if she wouldn't mind praying on the radio for us for these special requests that came in today. And one is for Becky Meeks, who is a member of our church, who's going to be going through a CT scan this week, and she's going to make sure that the difficulties she's having are not associated with the cancer she's been struggling with, for one. Yeah, and then we also have Sally Burns, who is a good friend of the ministry, has been for years, who lost her husband to cancer this week, who was would have been 48 years old in a couple weeks. So they've been together for, I think, over 35 years. So it's been a real struggle for her. So, Sally, we're praying for you. You're not alone in this battle. And she wants to thank you for her friendship. I also have a card here that I'm supposed to read from our pastor's wife, Kawanda. As you know, she's been out of church for 3 months, and she has made an effort. This Sunday, she's decided she's coming to church no matter if she's in pain or not in pain. She says, I'm in pain at home. I might as well be in pain there where I want to be. So she says, dear girlfriends, I want to thank you for your prayers and support for me during this long recovery. The basket of gifts you sent me really made my week, and I don't know who put all the burn mats, what? Is that what it says? No, the box of Granny Smith apples, which I have never bought in my life, but at this time when I had no appetite for food, for some reason I opened them up, and these little packages inside that of the box, and I ate all of them, and by the second day, all 10 packages were gone. It's the only thing she could eat was that whoever gave those apples. I love them. It tasted so good when I couldn't eat anything else at all. I appreciate what you all did, and I looked through that basket again yesterday. I'm getting better, and I hope to be at church soon. God bless you for caring about me. I pray for you all, too. Love, Kawanda. Wasn't that nice?
Kawanda.
So I wanted to send that. And, Darlene, would you pray a special prayer for us tonight before we start on our next topic?
Okay.
Yeah, probably okay.
And how do you pronounce that?
Saya. And she's gone through brain surgery, the one that's 14, 15, and no cancer was there, no chemo, and no radiation will be needed. So,
thank God.
you and with our requests and also our praises. And God, we just praise you for what you did for Saya, dear God, and helping her through this brain surgery and everything that's under control. We just thank you for that. We ask you to be with Sally as she mourns for the loss of her husband, dear God. I just ask you to comfort her like only you can comfort her, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you also to be with Becky Meeks as she goes to the CT scan, dear God. I just ask that you help the doctors to be able to find whatever it is that they need to find and get rectified. And we just thank you for it. And Lord, we just, again, lift up Kawanda. And we thank you for her steadfastness and all the miracles that you have already performed for her, dear God. But we just ask that you give her the strength that she needs so that she can come and fellowship with the people she loves so much. And Lord, then we can anoint her with oil and pray as a complete congregation that God will complete this healing process that's going on in her body. And Lord, we also lift up Pastor Billy and ask you to touch him, help this pain that he's experiencing in his knee, dear Lord. We just thank you in advance in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm very excited to start on our new book, Happy Women Live Better. I saw Valerie Burton on TV, and I thought, wow, you know, she is just a bundle of joy herself and such a joyful person. And I just really wanted to order one of her books. So I ordered it and started kind of looking through it, and I went on YouTube, and I found some great information. Unfortunately, I could not get a discount unless we bought about 500 of them. So I decided I didn't want to purchase those. So if you want to buy yours, you can get it on Amazon or Half Price Books or Kindle. Mine's on Kindle, and I don't have my iPad, so I'm borrowing Debbie's real quick. But I just want to take you through the introduction a little bit. And we have these schedules if anybody needs them and would like to follow along. We'll have those, and we'll pass them out here in a minute. But tonight we are on the introduction and chapter one. And it basically is just saying that in life, in general, statistically shown, men are getting less depressed and less unhappy in life and less sad, and women are getting more. So they're finding depression is going up for women and down for men. So, you know, why is this happening? What's going on? We're going to be talking about that a little bit. And there's 12 happiness myths that every woman should know. And the first myth is, you know what makes you happy. Well, that's not true, because sometimes as we change in life and our seasons change in life, man, I remember it used to make me happy to have a new outfit, and I was fired up to get a garbage disposal last year. You know, I mean, how different life changes for, you know, when our needs are being met, we are more happy. Number two is success produces happiness. You know what? They're finding that the more money that women make older in their life, the less likely they are to be in a love-type relationship, especially if they're not married. They are less likely to get married if they're making more money. And I've seen that with people that I know. Oh, I'm much too successful to be married. So, therefore, success and love are together? Not necessarily. So, number three is happiness is about what happens. Now, that's not true, because we can have situational depression, where we've talked to women and been like, I'm so depressed, Tammy, do you think I'm going through depression? He'd be like, well, let me see, you just went bankrupt and your dog died. No, you probably have situational depression. And how do we get rid of situational depression? Change our situation. And we can go through periods of time that seem discouraging and unhappy and depressive. But if we live like that on a daily basis and not just have a season of that in our life, then we need to get help for that. So that's a totally different thing. So number four is focusing on happiness is selfish. Is it selfish to say, I have a need that I need to meet? No, it's not selfish to say that. Or to say, right now, I really have to take care of myself right now. Now, if we live like that and never take care of anybody else, we're probably not going to have very many friends, and our family's probably going to leave us, and our little kids are going to be in bad diapers. But there comes a time where we are going to have to say, right now, I need to take care of myself, even if it's for 5 minutes. And those of you going to the retreat this weekend, you're going to have a little you time, and that's okay. Number five, with so many more opportunities and advances in the workplace and society, women are happier today than they were 40 years ago. False. And they are less happy than they are now. So again, does success make happiness? No. Number six, women who work are happier and more fulfilled. And not true.
Nope.
Not true at all. They say that people that feel that their calling is to stay home with their kids are very happy. They say that people that are fulfilled going out in the workplace and having a job are happy. And you know what? They're happy because that's what their happiness is. Mm-hmm. So having children will make you happier. You know, I think my sister brought up years ago that a good marriage with children will make it not any better. It's not going to make it a great marriage. And they find that sometimes it makes it a little harder, but it never makes it better. I remember so many times people say, well, as soon as we have a baby together, what does that have to do with it?
Yeah.
Then, and if you have a hard marriage now, wait until you throw, let's throw a third person in that. So having children make me happy is a myth. In other words, if I could just make more money, I'd be happier. True or false? Absolutely false. And that is such a myth. And so many people live for, when I get rich, when I get this, then I'll be happy. When I get all my bills paid off, then I'll be happy. No, that's not true at all. Those are goals, but that's not what joy is. If you find joy in something that you have not fulfilled yet, you still have a vision, but you got to find joy now where you're at. Number nine, if I live in the best neighborhood, I'll be happier. Guess what? Statistics are the same for the bad neighborhoods and the good neighborhoods. Number 10, marriage makes women happier and men feel confined. Nope. It's not true at all. And they find that married men are more happier. They live longer. That's true. Number 11, happiness is easy. It's not easy. You have to make a choice to be happy. You have to smile and tell your brain that you're happy sometimes. Your brain does not know that you're sad. It is orchestrated by you. Number 12, having it all will make you happy. No, not at all. So how about you? What myths have been brought into your life? What have you decided? So we're going to be talking about happiness trigger. So we'll have to wait till the end because we're on a time over here. Okay, ready, Debbie? And Debbie's got chapter one, happiness trigger.
Okay, I'm just going to go through the summary at the end of this chapter. So first of all, we want to activate the happiness trigger. So take a look at your calendar for the next week. What do you have to look forward to? How could you further enhance your enjoyment of these activities? If there's nothing to look forward to, what can you create and add to your schedule? So look at what you're already doing. And sometimes it can be just something really simple, like you're looking forward at the end of the day, you're going to take a nice bubble bath, put on a candle, some music, and just relax and take a little time for yourself. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Or looking forward to something a couple of weeks from now, or having an immediate goal, a short-term goal, and a long-term goal that you can look forward to.
It's funny how we get excited about, this is goofy, but my friend Lisa gave us mochas, bought us mochas today, right? Just to be nice, it's our first day back. But I just brought 7 kids on a ferry.
Yay!
And no, next week I'll have 10, but this week I have 7. That's a lot of kids, right?
Yeah, right.
And I was on the ferry, and we're doing a Connect Four tournament. Just because it keeps them busy. And if I would have known this mocha was sitting right here, I could have gotten through that a lot easier. Isn't that funny? Because then when I was sitting there, I was like, oh, God, make that for me. And she goes, yeah, I brought you that present. I'm like, oh, yeah. But see how excited we are for this little thing?
And so secondly, pause and close your eyes. Breathe deeply. Now imagine your enjoyment of the activity that you're most looking forward to. This is called anticipatory savoring. And, you know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue or any praise, think on these things. And in January, we're going to be looking at Dr. Carolyn Leaf's program about toxic thoughts. So we'll be actually talking a little bit more about that. So talk about what you're looking forward to. So talk about it with your friends. Say, oh, it's going to be so much fun when we do this ladies' retreat. I'm really looking forward to it. And expressing your excitement for what you're anticipating, no matter how small or large, it's a key to activating this happiness trigger. And then savor the moment. I saw something on Facebook, and it said, did you stare at your phone anywhere exciting this weekend? So don't do that. Be in the moment. Savor the moment. When the activity arrives, be fully present, and don't let distractions muffle your enjoyment. Remember it with fondness. Reminiscing about past pleasures is savoring the past. What did you enjoy most? How did it feel? What did it mean to you? Talk about it and keep a journal. Writing in a journal is a great way to reflect on meaningful pleasure. And whenever you want a boost of positive emotion, you can always go back to your journal and savor a bit more. Or make a scrapbook or photo album. Online even works to remember your experience. And then try something new. My husband and I have been going to these different exercise classes, and it's really fun to just to do something different with him. And I want to do a painting class. And, you know, any kind of novelty can get you excited and, you know, really improve your happiness trigger. Set a meaningful goal and describe what it would feel like to reach that goal. And lastly, make a list of simple pleasures. Then choose one to put on your calendar today.
Like go might over be to your a book. BFF friend and practice your Edith Ann.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that. But, yeah, I have a friend that is out of town. I only see her about twice a year, and I really look forward to, you know, to doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So that is all I have here.
So what are some of your, just quickly, happiness triggers? Lisa.
Sunset.
Karen.
Coming here.
Yeah, girlfriend. Tammy. Yes,
my grandkids.
Yeah. Jeanette.
The sunlight.
Okay. What else? What all do you like?
Just life.
Life and
yeah.
general.
Yeah, Layla.
Pastor Jeremy and I both said the same thing when you came out of the bus with all those children. He goes, remember back when? At Calgary, and all those little kids came up. Oh,
yeah.
We were both like, oh, yeah.
Because you weren't in the bus with them. Yeah. What's your happiness trigger?
Being with my friends.
Yeah.
So I can get out and do stuff, so they can see me.
How about the opposite? I sometimes like to be totally alone.
Me too.
And just refocus. I have a book called The Forgotten God by Francis Chan, and he's a great speaker. And it's, you know, I live on the beach, and so I like to go out on the deck and read my Bible or pray or whatever by myself, maybe when the kids are still asleep or whatever. And he had this illustration on YouTube. If you can just kind of watch his stuff, it's like 11, 12 minutes long. They're real short. But he says, you know, I was by myself on the beach, and I had my little blanket out, my little cappuccino and my Bible open. And I thought, ooh, I don't like this. You know, this sounds like me. You know, I'm liking this. And he says, and I started just kind of praying. And then he says, I was talking about the forgotten God, which is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he says, I just really felt like the Lord said to me, I hope you're real comfy and cozy down there, but that's not what I called you to do, brother. What do you need to do today? You know, get yourself together and then figure out who you need to serve, what you need to do. And I thought, you know, it just really spoke to me. So I've been trying to listen to his stuff and read this and do my devotions in the morning on, you know, what makes me happy? And I like to be able to encourage someone. I love to encourage. And I love when somebody else is doing something for themselves.
Exactly.
And I think my dad used to say, you know a lot about a person by what makes them mad and what makes them sad.
Oh, boy.
And what angers you? And what do you think would anger the heart of God? What makes you happy? What joy do you feel? I remember when Brooks was only about, I don't think he was quite 2 years old because I was pregnant with Bailey and they're only 2 years apart. So I have my little pregnant belly out there and I got Brooks playing on the floor and my dad's in the recliner next to me at his house and I'm visiting them. And he's playing with these little blocks on the floor, you know, like little kids did. And Bailey was or Brooks was a big time talker, and he was, I never snip, I break me, burst snip, and he's doing this on the ground, you know, and then he looked up at me and kind of smiled funny, and I said, it's so funny. I said, I'm looking over at him thinking, man, does he kind of look like me for a second? You know, it's kind of weird to see your face in somebody else's face. It's strange.
Yeah.
So I looked at him like, yeah, I kind of look like me or whatever, and my dad says, yeah, he says, you know, do you ever look at your child and you think, wow, was I ever that good? Was I ever that? Or was I, and you love them so much. And I was like, yeah, and I'm just totally, you know, taken in by my kid. You know, and that joy you never forget. You know, I was like, wow, and then my other kid's inside me, you know, getting ready to come out pretty soon. And I'm looking at this kid and I'm just overwhelmed. And I look up at my dad and he's got tears rolling down his eyes. And he goes, Tammy, you feel like that whenever you look at your kids, no matter how old they are. And I realize I'm looking at my kid adoring my child, and my dad, who's almost 40 years older than me, is thinking the same about my faith. And I'm thinking, wow, I see so many times now since I've had kids the past 10, 11 years that God is this father that we bring happiness to, that we bring joy to. And as we're looking for our happy triggers over the next few weeks as we read this book, I think you'll learn how to find happiness. I think you'll learn in those times where you're just like, man, nothing's going right, to go back and really learn what the Lord has shown her, our author, you know, through finding love and light. And I remember when we moved and my kids are getting a little bit older and stuff, sitting back and saying, man, I remember when I was so happy and I had this newborn baby and this new house, and I had just started counseling college and all this stuff, and I loved that time, and it can kind of discourage you, because then you look at where you're at now, and there's a comparison there, right? Have anybody ever done that besides me?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, unless I control my thoughts and control that, you can really feel discouraged. And I was like, so I was reading this book, and the book was saying there's nothing wrong with having great and wonderful memories of something, someone, something that's changed. But hold on to the memories. And don't allow it to get past there to the sorrow of not having what you used to have anymore. But be thanking the Lord for the wonderful memories that He gave you. And when we sold our first house in Edmonds, I didn't care we sold it. It was my husband's before that. But when we sold our house in Mill Creek, I was like, you know what I mean? I just have an attachment. You know how women have attachments to stuff? But when we moved away from Mill Creek, I said, Scott, you know why that made me sad? Because I didn't have to give up my church. And that's the only thing I have on the side of the water is all of you guys, which is, you know, you're all right here. It's great. But I said, you know why that was hard for me for a minute? Because I don't have one bad memory with you. I don't have one bad memory with him. And I didn't want to leave all the good. And so when I rediscovered in my head that I'm not leaving good, I'm creating more memories, it was amazing how joy floods back in your heart. When you say, maybe things have changed in my life, but where I'm at right now, I'm going to decide to have joy. I'm going to decide that God has placed me right where I'm at for a purpose. You want to know what my happiness trigger was on Sunday? My dad worked really hard in that sermon. I thought he just was awesome on Sunday. And I mean, not that he isn't ever, but I was on stage this time instead of, I didn't have to run around and do stuff for youth group. I wasn't in the back. I was on stage, so I really was more focused than normal. And I was listening. I was so excited. But you know what? That wasn't my favorite part. You know what my favorite part was? When the part in the song, when I was leading the choir, said, I see my father standing at the door. And yeah. I looked at Diane and knew she was thinking about her dad.
Yeah, I was too.
I looked at Diane and she said, I can see my father standing. And she looked up at the door and I thought, she just saw Bob.
Yeah.
Did you not?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah. I do every time we sing that song.
Yeah. And I thought, wow, this world, been a deliverance. I'm ready. This world's been. I'm ready for deliverance. I've been told and sick before. And it was like, yeah. As soon as it gets to that father standing at the door, I know what she's seeing. And I was so excited. That was my happiness trigger. And you know what else is going to be my happiness trigger? I'm going to see her see him in heaven.
Amen.
I'm going to. You know how exciting that is? And you know what's even more exciting? That he knew when she made that commitment.
Yeah.
And you know what the angels came and did? They had a party with Bob. And he could eat all he wanted, and he's not going to be fat up there. Bob! Right! That's exciting to me. So we have to close out our radio show here, but we want to thank you for joining us today. And if you've never made that commitment, I'm not sure if our ending works or not, so I'll just continue it here. We just want to say that we would be honored and delighted to help you find that place with the Lord in your heart. And that's just three things. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess him openly. And so we're going to do that with you today if you've never done that. And I'm going to ask the studio audience right here to bow our heads and close our eyes and repeat this prayer after me today. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I believe that you were my sacrifice.
I believe that you were my sacrifice.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
And cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
And cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
I believe in you today.
I believe in you today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If you said that prayer with us today, we would love to hear from you. You can call our sponsor, the Cruzy Brothers International Ministry, at 1-800-800-6121. That works all over the United States and Canada. That's 1-800-800-6121. You can also reach us on the web if you'd like to hear one of our live telecasts at cruzybrothers.org. That's K-R-O-E-Z-E, brothers.org, and go into live stream. You can also see that on your iPad, iPhone, or your Android. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you. We will hear from you next week.